Back to Mark chapter 3, let's read verses 28 through 30 once again. Verily I say unto you. And there's something so powerful about that when the Lord says that. All sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. What a blessed promise. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness. He will not be forgiven, but he is consigned. Doesn't mean maybe he won't be eternally damned. He's in danger of it, but maybe he can get out of it. The word is literally, he is consigned to eternal damnation because they said he hath an unclean spirit. I've entitled this message, Blasphemy Against the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you, everybody in here, if you paid attention to what was being said, it scared you. It's a fearful thing to even read something like this. Blasphemy is a sin that God does forgive. Now, blasphemy always has something to do with speech. It's something you say. Speaking against the divine majesty. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, will not be forgiven. Now we know from Matthew's account that the Lord had just cast out a demonic spirit that had made a man to be both blind and dumb. He couldn't see, he couldn't speak. You know, you can't speak of what you've never seen, can you? You can't speak accurately of that which you have never seen. But the Lord cast this demon out, and he both saw and spake. He was able to see now, and he was able to articulate what it was he had seen. Now, that's the way the gospel works. You can't articulate and speak that which you've never seen. It's impossible. But when the Lord gives you eyes to see, you speak, don't you? By your words, you'll be justified. And by your words, you'll be condemned. Your words will line up with the gospel, or they will not line up with the gospel. But this man both saw and spake. Now, will you look for just a moment at Matthew's account of this in Matthew chapter 12. Verse 22, this is the same event as recorded by Matthew. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him. And remember, all of these healings are given to teach us something in the gospel, just like everything else in the Bible is. Insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? That's the only conclusion they could come up with. Only the son of David could do something like this. That was the response of the people. Did they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know. But I know they said only the son of David could do something like this. Now back to our text. Here is the scribes' response. Now the scribes were the teachers of the law. They are the ones who transcribed the Bible, and they were the teachers. They were the scholars. Somebody once said the scribes were the teachers, the Pharisees were the enforcers of the law. And this was their response to seeing this miracle. Verse 22, and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub. He is possessed with a demon. They demonized him. And you know, that's what people do when they can't come up with a scriptural answer and they can't justify themselves. They demonize someone. And the Lord was demonized a lot. He's demon-possessed. He's demon-possessed. Now, they saw this, that everybody else said, this could only be the work of the Son of David. And they said, he's possessed with a devil. Go on reading. He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. Now, the scribes already hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were looking for reasons to accuse him. Look in verse 22 of chapter 1. And they, after he had preached this message, were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. Now they were already the losers by him. And they saw that. People were losing respect for them. He taught as one of having authority, not like the scribes. Look in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. This is after the Lord said to that young man, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Verse 6, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? He's speaking blasphemies. Who can forgive sins but God only? Look in verse 16 of chapter 2. And when the scribes and the Pharisees, there we have them together, when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? There's something wrong with this. There's something immoral about this. This is not right. So they had already felt like they were losing their grip because of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't like him. And they're going to try to incriminate anything that he does. And so they see this miracle that the regular person said, surely this is the work of the Son of David. And he said, this is the work of a demon. This is the work of Satan. Now, look what they say next. Or look how the Lord responded to this. And he called them unto him, and he said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? That doesn't even make sense. You know, most of what goes on under the name of religion doesn't make any sense, does it? And this did not make sense. This was a willful hatred of Jesus Christ. That's all it was. It sure didn't make sense. Now look what the Lord says. Verse 24, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Anybody know what's on the flag for Kentucky? But you un-Kentuckians don't know. It says, united we stand and divided we fall. That's what's said on our flag. And it's a self-evident truth. Look what he says in verse 26. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand but has an end. He's going to put himself out of business. This is how ludicrous, this is how stupid, this is how ridiculous this accusation is. That's what the Lord is saying. And he's exposing the unreasonable and willful misrepresentation that they were making. Now, all you can call this accusation is wide eye opened, willful, malicious misrepresentation of the Lord. As a matter of fact, if you look at that last verse, verse 30, because they said he hath an unclean spirit, that's what's motivating this, an unclean spirit. Now look what the Lord says next. I love these next, this next verse. Verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil its goods except he first bind the strong man. And then he will spoil his house. Now, who is the strong man? The devil. And while he is with his self and his goods, his people, men, his goods are at peace. No problem whatsoever. You know, these people are fine with Satan as their master. They don't know he's their master. They're everyday Joes like me and you going on, and they're at peace. They're not seeking God. They think, hey, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with where I'm at. I'm satisfied with my experience and my salvation and so on. They're satisfied. They're at peace. They're at peace. They're not thinking, I'm in trouble. No, they're at peace. It's not the Lord's peace, but they're at peace. They think everything's fine. Look in Luke chapter 11, in Luke's account. Luke chapter 11. Now this strong man, the devil, you and I are no match for him. Eve did not have a sinful nature, and he got her to sin. You think he'd have any problem with me or you? He's got so much to work with. He has his goods at peace. 11, chapter 11, verse 18, if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub, Satan, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I with the finger of God, and I like the way he uses the word finger, it's not hard for me. It's not hard for me. I just use my finger for this. I have to use my mighty bare arm. I just use my finger. And if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is coming to you. And then he says, when a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are at peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh away from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Now the palace is the human heart that this strong man lives in. Everybody by nature, I mean children, he says even to believers, you were by nature children of wrath. You were just like everybody else, children of the devil, and you were very satisfied in that condition. And they're at peace. Now, it's not the peace Christ gives. Christ said, my peace I give unto you. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now listen to me, the only peace I have is the peace he made for me. And what peace there is in that? Being justified. By faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the peace that comes from grace. Grace unto you and peace. And it's a real peace. But these people don't have any of that, but they have a false peace. Are you saved? Yeah. Are you going to go to heaven when you die? Absolutely. I'm as sure for there as if I'm already there. I've made my peace with God. It's the peace of superstition and ignorance. And the strong man armed makes them content, and then the stronger than he comes. The Lord Jesus Christ, the omnipotent. Now, how much stronger is omnipotence than real strong? Infinite. Infinite. He has the strength of omnipotence. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He has the strength of absolute sovereignty. His will is always done. He has the strength of independence. He has no needs that must be met before his will can be done. He's utterly and completely independent. He has the strength of omniscience and omnipresence. It's not like he's going to not be somewhere and can't prevent it from happening, because he's everywhere, controlling everything. And he has the wisdom to make sure his will always comes to pass. He has the strength of holiness and justice. He has the strength of divine love. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The stronger than he comes and overcomes. overcomes him. And my dear friends, that's exactly what took place on the cross. Satan's head was crushed in answer to the ancient prophecy of Genesis 3:15, the seed of woman. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't the seed of Adam, he was the seed of woman. He'll come and crush the serpent's head. The serpent thought, I'm defeating him. And he didn't know he was being utterly destroyed and overcame and bound by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, only omnipotence. That's the stronger one. Whatever you say about strength, the Lord's stronger. Always stronger. He's the stronger one. Only omnipotence can make something that is not to be. And only omnipotence can make that which is to not be anymore. Now that's the strength of our Redeemer. I was born bad. I was shapen in iniquity. And sin, my mother conceived me. Same with you. I was born bad. And there's not a thing I can do to change that. But omnipotence made it to where I am perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. My sin, it's made to not be. Not simply forgiven, but it's not. It's gone. Where is it? It's gone. It's not just covered up somewhere waiting to come back out. It's non-existent. That's what the Lord did with the sins of his people. Oh, the stronger than he. Satan may say with regard to me, why, he pledged allegiance to me to be mine. And Christ will reply, he's always been mine. He can't make a statement like that. He's always been mine. I knew him before the foundation of the world. Satan may say, but he committed great sin. But the Lord said, but I justified him. What are you going to do about that? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God to let God justify him? Who is he that can condemn? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God. But they're still so sinful. He's still so sinful. Well, sin's not going to have dominion over him because he's not under the law. He's under grace. But his flesh is just as bad as it ever was. Yeah, but I've given him a new heart and a new nature that does not sin. He's mine. All answers made by the one who is stronger. And Satan is overcome and bound and can only do what God directs him to do as part of his great purpose of grace. I love thinking about this. I mean, I don't want to have anything to do with the devil. I like what Michael the oracle angel said, the Lord rebuke you. I'm not going to, when I hear these preachers talking about, we rebuke you, Satan, I just cringe. They're in his palm doing his will. But he's in the Lord's hand. He's God's devil. I love saying that. He's God's devil. And he can only do what God allows him to do for his purpose of grace. And I love the way Luke's account says, he takes away the armor which he trusted in. When Christ saves somebody, he takes away all the armor they trusted in. Their experience, their knowledge, their progress in holiness and good works, it's all taken away. And they're left with nothing but Christ. And when you have nothing but Christ, you know what? Christ is all to you. He is all to you. And he divides the spoils with his people. Now, Mark says in verse 28, or the Lord says, verily I say unto you that all sin shall be forgiven unto the sons of men. Aren't you thankful for that? All the sins shall be forgiven. And blasphemies. Men have spoke harsh things regarding the Lord, wheresoever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, he's not going to have forgiveness. He's going to have eternal damnation. Now I know three other places in the New Testament where we speak of where the New Testament speaks of sin that will not be forgiven. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now the key is, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth. Now, Hebrews chapter 10 is such a declaration of the knowledge of the truth. Wherefore, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, that's the knowledge of the truth. Christ accomplishing salvation. Now, if somebody, after having received that knowledge, goes back to salvation by works, there is no other sacrifice. You've left Christ. There is no salvation for that person. Now, there's been times when I didn't understand that. I'd think of willful sin being you know better, and you go ahead and do it anyway. Well, that's awful, but that's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about turning your back on the only way of salvation and going back to works. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 20. For if, after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known what? The way of righteousness. The way of Christ. The way of grace. It would have been better for them not to have known it than, after they've known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. They turn from that. But it's happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, the pig that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 15. Verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for that sin that's not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I don't say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there's a sin not unto death. Now, in all three of these instances, we're looking at people who heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and went back to works. Do you have any temptation to do that? No. No, I wouldn't be in these, I know I would be in these shoes apart from God's grace, but I wouldn't be in one of these people's shoes for anything. To hear the gospel and to go back to works? To hear a free grace and go back to free will? Oh, no. And if someone does that, if any of you here listening end up going to a church where what is preached from this pulpit is not preached, that's what he's talking about. That's exactly what he's talking about. But the men who have blasphemed the Holy Spirit never professed to believe the gospel. They said the work of Christ was carried on by the devil, and he was operating from an unclean spirit. Now turn with me for a moment to Jude, the book of Jude, right before Revelation. Next, the last book of the Bible. Beginning in verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, and I like the way he calls it the common salvation. That means that which is general to all, as opposed to that which is peculiar to the few. It is what all of God's people experience. It's the common salvation. It's not ones up here and ones. No, it's the common salvation. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You know, this book's a closed book. This is a closed revelation. It's been once delivered. There are no new revelations. It's once delivered. And it's already been delivered. Now, verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Somebody says, that sounds like double predestination. Well, I don't know. I don't care what it sounds like. There it is. And I'm not going to apologize for that. This is the Word of God. And I don't understand all the ramifications behind it, but I don't have to. I know that they're responsible and they're not victims of God's sovereignty. And what they do is their fault. They can't charge God with injustice for this, but they were before of old. You know what that means? Before the foundation of the world. Before of old, ordained to this condemnation. Now don't miss that. He's talking about eternal damnation. The same thing that the person who has blasphemed against the Holy Spirit has been guilty of. For there certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what were these men doing? Now, the way most people interpret this, and look at it, and perhaps you have, these men are saying the grace of God is an excuse for lasciviousness. If you believe grace, you don't need to worry about your conduct. You don't need to worry about how you conduct yourself. You don't need to worry about sin. Salvation's by grace. Hey, since salvation by grace, any kind of sin is okay. Sexual sin, stealing, covetousness, lying, you name it, go for it. Salvation's by grace. You don't have anything to worry about. You've got a diplomatic immunity. You're all right. Salvation's by grace. Don't worry about it. Have you ever heard any preacher say that? I never have in my life. I think there's probably people, I know, as a matter of fact, I've only known one person in all my life that actually articulated that. He wasn't a preacher, but he actually was saying things of that nature. And that's evil. That's ungodly. You know it and I know it. The grace of God does not give people a reason to think, hey, sin's okay because salvation's by grace. That's a hellish sentiment. That's all it is. And may the Lord ever deliver us from that. But is that what Jude is saying? No. Now the word turn, look in our text. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now that's not the word that generally means, that's generally translated turn. As a matter of fact, most of the time it's translated translate. translate. Here is their translation. Grace will lead to sin. Grace is evil. Grace will lead. This is false teaching. This will make it to where your conduct doesn't matter and your works don't matter. You can sin all you want. That's what grace does. Grace leads to sin. Now, it leads to lasciviousness. It leads to unbridled lust. Well, if you preach grace, you're giving people the opportunity to sin all they want. Why, this is diabolical. This is demonic. That is the sin against the Holy Spirit. There's a time when the lights go out, and it's gone out at that point. To take the only way of holiness, the grace of God, and to turn it into the work of Satan. That's satanic. It's Beelzebub that does this. This is the spirit of uncleanness. There's no care for righteousness or morality. This is just going to lead people to sin. That, my dear friends, is the sin against the Holy Spirit. This is willfully saying concerning the only way man can be holy, actually, it's satanic and an act of uncleanness. Now, in Matthew and Luke's account, he ends up with this: he that's not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters abroad. What he means by that is there's no neutrality. In or out. Grace or works. But I don't want to go back to our text in Mark chapter 3. Now, by his grace, I don't dare believe that his grace is going to lead people to sin. You know, folks who believe that's because they don't really believe grace, period. They don't really have any understanding. They're natural men. They're men without the Holy Spirit. And by his grace, I don't have any interest in going back to works. Now, it's only by his grace, I realize that, but I don't have any interest at all in going back to salvation depending upon what I do in any way. I don't want that. But I love what the Lord says in verse 28. Verily I say unto you, all sins. That's a big umbrella. All sins. The sins you've regrettably committed today. The sins you'll commit tomorrow. They're awful. This is no excuse for anything like that. But aren't you thankful the Lord says this? All sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men. And the blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. Now here's a reason for joy and a reason for warning. May the Lord deliver us from this sin of taking the grace of God and saying, well, that'll lead to sin. That's a complete, willful, wicked misrepresentation of the gospel. And may the Lord deliver us from that. Let's pray. Lord, we tremble in fear at our own sinfulness and how we know that apart from your grace, there's nothing we couldn't or wouldn't do. And Lord, we ask that we might be delivered from the evil one. We ask that we might be delivered from the evil of ourself. We ask that we might be made to look to thy Son only and always. And Lord, enable us to Preach your gospel in our day for your glory and for our good. And how we thank you that all sin shall be forgiven, whatever it is, in your people, for Christ's sake. And Lord, we ask for grace. Lord, we ask for grace to walk, to talk, and to think in a way that honors you and glorifies your grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.